This is CBSi in the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Scala Report with CEO Chris Riegel of Scala.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. And we go to technology. A man by the name of Jack Ma. The Financial Times report was surprising, given the turbulence in mainland China and the brutality towards Hong Kong and other parts of East Asia. Jack Ma is a man who's identified with being part of the Chinese miracle heretofore. Financial Times reports Jack Ma, the Alibaba founder and once the richest business leader in China, has been living in central Tokyo for almost 6 months. I stopped there. Chris, a very good evening to you. The report goes on to say that Jack Ma is spending time with the founder of SoftBank and other leaders around the world taking trips to the U.S. and Israel. Jack Ma is a very well-to-do man, but there was always the question about whether he was a servant of the Chinese Communist Party or a showpiece for the Chinese Communist Party's alternative capitalism. Is Ma living in Tokyo because all the very well-to-do people in China are not as rich as they used to be and are getting out? Or is he living there because he likes, the flower breeding company that he visited in the Netherlands recently? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Wealth in China is not real wealth. And when I say that, because of the government's level of control and that ability to blink an eye and that wealth to be gone, should you say the wrong thing, wealth in China is a bit of a mirage. That wealth is tied to support for the CCP, support for the regime, and the requirement to stay quiet when you should be quiet from the government's view. As you saw with Mr. Ma, when he was making comments that might have been a little bit aggravating to the CCP, his Ant Financial Group IPO was interfered with by the government. So there's a very specific understanding in China that your wealth is tied to loyalty to the party. And should at any point that be questioned, that wealth is vaporized potentially.
You bring to my attention that there's been a sharp reduction in wealth of people on the mainland in China these last months and years, but especially recently. There's been reduction of wealth around the world, including one of the founders or the founder of SoftBank, Masayoshi Son, who is said to be colleagues with Jack Ma. So the wealth on the mainland, is that different than the wealth in Tokyo? The reduction of the Chinese billionaires, is that reflected in the reduction of Japanese billionaires or Korean billionaires?
Very much so. So Masa San and Jack Ma had a very specific relationship, which was Masa San was one of the early investors. SoftBank was one of the early investors in Alibaba. And Alibaba turned a $20 million investment by Mr. San into a $34 billion value for SoftBank. So within that investment, SoftBank did extremely well in Alibaba, a venture capitalist dream, that moonshot, as it's called. That being said, Masa San's fortunes have turned a bit in the last several years and maybe not doing as well as previously. But also you're seeing within China the crackdowns on wealth. In Mr. Xi's presentation to the plenary where he was reelected as president for life, he made many comments about excessive wealth and about excessive success. The key, I think, there in China is that many of the very, very wealthy are now significantly afraid that being too successful is now a problem because they become competition for Mr. Xi potentially. So I think that's having a negative effect on wealth. It's having a negative effect on the best and brightest continuing to grow businesses in China versus trying to get out.
All right, that's Asia. Now, the question is, does it come home to America or Europe as well, this reduction in wealth of the high end of tech? And you bring to my attention, as you have for some time, the layoffs. I recall we started with hundreds from various well-known tech companies in Silicon Valley. However, right now, the initial jobless claims last week do not reflect the layoffs exploding in November. So the question is, are the layoffs being contained in technology, high-end technology, say the technology associated with the pandemic, people at home? Or are the layoffs going to all parts of the economy?
So, John, the layoffs in tech started, as we talked about a year ago. Now, in the latest Challenger Grand Christmas report, this year's tech job layoffs are 535 5% higher than last year's. So it's showing that surge. You're now seeing that contagion start to spread to other sectors, specifically logistics and retail, as the American consumer is pressured in the recession and starting to spend less. So there will be a waterfall effect.
And does it move to parts of the company that are not dependent upon digital mastery? In other words, I know that Amazon has announced layoffs, but that had to do with the buildup of the distribution centers and the deliveries. I'm talking about the sales force, the thing you can't do without, that you don't replace with an AI genius. Are those also going forward in layoffs attached to the businesses that you see? Because you do business to business all the time.
They are. If you look at companies like a Walmart and a Target, where they staff to demand, they staff to transactional volume and have tremendous, tremendous insight into the health of the U.S. consumer. When you're seeing big layoffs and you're seeing reductions in those retail sectors, those retailers have excellent first-party data. They know the status and the health of the consumer. They know the transactional liquidity of that consumer. So when you're seeing signals that either layoffs are happening or their surges of hiring for Christmas are much lower than previous years, that's kind of the canary in the coal mine. It tells you the consumer is weakening and you're likely to see more struggles in more traditional industries after the first of the year.
You bring to my attention a chart that is a surprising way to talk about unemployment. It's actually people not being hired. So they're never unemployed because they were never employed. And this is for the holiday season. The numbers in 21 were staggeringly high, Chris. My goodness. The total hired in 21 for holiday was 966,000 against all these consumer businesses from Amazon to Target to USPS. Now it's down to under 600,000. So a dramatic cutback in 1 year. Is this anticipation of a recession, or is the business falling off that sharply?
It's the business reacting to what is a recession underway today. If you take an example from the Walmart perspective of in 2021, they hired 150,000 seasonal workers. That's a lot of people, but you spread that out over 5,000 stores, not a tremendous amount. That number decreasing from 21 at 150K to 22 of only being 40,000 workers, that shows that they're projecting that the demand will be much less because of the amount of staffing that they're preparing to deal with that surge. So much likely a lighter surge, a lower volume, again, showing the stress on the consumer.
Now, the drivers of this, we have two suspects, according to Washington over this last year. One is the supply chain, still broken. And the other is the spending in Washington, which is continuing on course. So those have contributed to the inflation, supply chain, and spending. But the unknown is, are we righting ourselves? The pandemic seems to have been no longer the driving force for explanations for things out of order. China has now come forward as a force for things out of order. Do you measure that the recent turbulence in China is going to show up in our ability to recover from a recession, if that's where we're headed? Is China now a profound part of our problem?
This will likely be the first recession or first global recession where China has been a material factor. Previously in 2008 and 2001, China's economy was still not as consequential and large as it is today. So I think you'll see whether that be the impact of reduction in production in China impacting raw materials in Australia or oil or other. China is definitely stumbling, and that will have reverberations, number one. Number two, when you see problems like the labor issues with the Apple Foxconn factories in China and output of iPhones, as an example, being down, that will translate into fewer number of products for sale at the retail level and fewer transactions from products made in China. So it could have a global wet blanket effect on the economy.
You note, I'm not asking about the war in Ukraine. Does it come up, Chris? Is that a concern for businesses when they lay people off, or is that geopolitics at the Chamberlain level only?
It's certainly geopolitics at a high level, but you continue to see from the Ukraine war the effect of the Russian diaspora of tech leaving Russia. Russia is now, for lack of a better phrase, being dumbed down as tech specifically. People are leaving the country because you can't do business there anymore, moving to Baku, moving to other parts of Europe to try to restart their tech lives, and you'll see a tremendous brain drain that will have massive impact on the Russian economy over the next 5 to 10 years.
So that's ahead of us. That's coming ahead of us. And here in the U.S., as you travel, do you see hesitation in the franchises? Do you see hesitation in hiring? Because there is a story that people are holding on to their workers, even though they know it burdens their overhead in a recession.
Opportunity to hire workers is still a challenge. There's still a lack of labor in the system, but you are starting to see in many businesses at the franchise level or small retail level that the consumer is tapped. The government stimulus that went out in the pandemic is now gone from most consumers. Credit card debt is rising, and you're seeing consumers that are increasingly stressed. That may drive folks back to the workforce potentially, but it's a wait and see.
Chris Riegel is the CEO of Scala.com, a global technology firm with businesses on all the trading continents, transforming the retail space with digital signage. I'm John Batchelor. This is the Scala Report.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.